Hey, I'm the girl with the pearls. Today, otherwise known as Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista. And Levels is back in 2021. I can't believe it. We did actually flip to a new year in the middle of all that craziness. But guess what, y'all? We made it. We have today a really fantastic guest. I'm gonna get to that in 1 second, but we usually have my partners in time, Jeremy Long and Mayweather ring announcer Ralph Velez. Ralph is recovering. He's gone. If you check his Instagram or his Facebook, you'll find out a little bit more. But guess what? He's feeling so much better. We just had a little bit of a timing issue, but he's gonna be back in his seat soon enough, and Jeremy will be back soon enough. So today, guess what? Y'all got me, but you don't just have me. You have the WBO champion and former Olympian, Michaela Mayer. I'm so jazzed to get her. She's in between training today, so she did make time for us. Let me go ahead and bring her out. Now we gotcha. Hey!
Hey.
So I was just saying that you just got from the gym a little while ago. Where are you at?
I'm currently at home in Colorado Springs. I just got back from the gym training with Jamel Herring's camp this week. We looked like we were going to be fighting in March, so I head out to Houston to start camp, but then it looks like now we're pushing it back to May, so back home just staying ready.
Now, we last saw you October 31st, Halloween night, when you won your first world title, but the belt wasn't there. What happened with the belt?
Yeah, so apparently Ayla Rodnicka left the belt in her dressing room, or like in the backstage, was the word. I don't know if she did it on purpose. She didn't really do anything right that fight week.
Yeah, she had a couple problems.
It was a bummer, though, because... Okay, so I fought in the bubble twice. And the first time I fought in the bubble, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I didn't really notice much of a difference. But this time I really did, because it's a world title fight. So you didn't really have that world title energy with the fans mm-hmm. and just the crowd and all that. And then when I didn't get the belt put around my waist, I was like, this is weird.
Because I saw you actually, the broadcast, they picked it up. Production picked you up saying like, where's my belt?
Yeah, I was immediately like, wait, where's my belt? Because it's supposed to be something happening. And I was like, this doesn't feel like I just won a world title, but you know, this is.
Did you get it?
I did get my belt. Well, a cool thing was when I got right out of the ring, Bob Arum was like, "Do you want to go to Puerto Rico and get your belt?" And I said, "Hell yeah!" Because I guess that's where WBO headquarters are. So
yeah.
And you know, in the ring, when you get the belt placed around you, that's not your belt. It's just for the photo op.
Sure.
Let it be known that you won the fight, and then you get your own anyway. So I got to go to Puerto Rico and pick it up myself, which was pretty cool.
Do you have it?
I do. It's right here.
Where is it?
Right here.
Here we go. Oh, look at that. It's all shiny and pretty. Yeah. Nice.
Really pretty.
Do you feel like you have to do more work to get it or more work to keep it?
Well, you know, it's a lot of work to get in position to get these fights done. But it's not any easier to keep it. It only gets harder from here. You know I have a lot of tough competition and the bullseye's on my back now. So it only gets harder. There's no easy fights from here on out. And holding on to this belt is gonna take a lot of work.
How much is unification on your mind as opposed to, why did camp get pushed? Why did the fight get pushed? Is it the whole COVID situation and getting people in place?
It's really just a combination of Top Rank trying to fight their athletes, but also the ESPN is only allowing a certain amount of cards because of March Madness. March Madness time, and because they didn't get to do it last year, they're kind of going big this year, so we're just going to have to wait till May.
You want unification still on your mind, or do you want another fight to I guess it would be a tune-up fight in between?
You know, tune-up fight is always good, but I'm ready for the big fights. I've been pretty open about wanting to unify right away. So
because you've got Harper, who's got the WBC belt, you got the IBC belt, and then you've got who's got Choi with the WBA belt.
Yeah, so I think that, well, what happened, this is what we know so far. So I've been going after Harper, everyone knows that. I've been calling her out, I've been wanting that fight for a long time. but she has already, even though she's injured, has already signed a contract to fight Choi. So Eddie Hearn has reserved those two for each other, and it looks like looks like Maeve is available. So we've been in negotiation for that, and I'd love to unify right away. But if for some reason that doesn't happen, and the teams can't come to an agreement, or you know, whatever, however boxing works,
would Heather Hardy be on your list at all?
Yeah, and I like I said, if I can't unify right away, which is the goal, if I can't do that, I would definitely want to fight a top American. You know, I want to bring attention to women's boxing as much as I can. So I don't want to fight somebody who doesn't have a name, doesn't have a following. And Heather Hardy has definitely built up a name for herself. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have a lot of fans combined, and that would make for a great fight for women's boxing for sure.
How much did, I mean, so the schedule with ESPN is one thing. I know that the UK was locked down for a minute for combat sports as well. How much did 2020 and the COVID situation kind of like just suck the air out of your plans? And what were you able to do to pivot?
I guess you can say that for most people, it was a pretty shitty year, but I really can't complain too much. I mean, I had two fights where a lot of people didn't get to fight at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those fights was for a world title. So although I did four solid camps though last year, you know, two of the fights got canceled. And so even though I didn't get to fight, I was able to peak myself multiple times this year. You know, I made good money, and I hope brought good attention. I fought at the main event on ESPN and hopefully brought a lot of attention to women's boxing, but I got COVID, Coach Al got COVID, so it wasn't perfect. There was definitely some bumps in the road that we had to overcome, but you know, that's what we do. We persevere, and ultimately it was a pretty good year for us. Can't complain.
It was a pretty good year for you, and also for Top Rank. There's a stable of champions at Top Rank. You mentioned training in Jamel Herring's camp. Is Bud been there as well? I see. I heard him in the background yelling at Jamel at one point or another.
No, he's not here right now. I'm not sure. You know, he just didn't fight too long ago. So
yeah.
But there's a handful of guys out here working that, you know, they let me join their camp and help keep me sharp and on a schedule.
Yeah, what's that like for you? I mean, it's not uncommon to be one of, if not the only girl in the gym, oftentimes, but you're in the gym with champions. How does that work for you? And then who do you end up sparring with? And then does everybody have something to say about how you do what you do?
No, you know, that's funny you bring that up, because I really was thinking about that today. Like, I'm not new to being the only girl in the gym. That's not something that's new to me, but if I just like stop and reflect on my journey and my career and just looking around, like, yeah, I am in a room full of champions, but I'm also the only female champion. And it's kind of cool to look back and be like, man, I've come a long way, you know? And it's like, now no one can say I don't belong in there. You know, I really do. And so I just feel like women's boxing is getting to that point, and I'm just happy where my career is. And yeah, it feels good.
You have, women's boxing has come a long way. There's still some ways to go, especially in terms of pay equity and how often you all are put on cards to actually fight. And Clarissa has taken her training to MMA. You got any interest in crossing over just to get more activity and to actually earn more? Is that in your plans?
It used to be, because, and I totally understand where Clarissa is coming from, because after the Olympics, I didn't have anyone reaching out to me to offering me a pro contract. Whereas like my male teammates had it before the Olympics had even, you know? And so I was really considering making that transition. I had an offer from Bellator, and I was literally weeks away from signing that contract and going that direction, because that's where women are getting the money, the respect, the TV time. And again, nobody was reaching out to me, wanting to sign me. I sat down with Top Rank last minute and sort of just told them that, you know, my plans, and that I feel like I could help change women's boxing, and kind of convince them to believe in me. And they did. And thank God, because I give Clarissa a lot of credit, but that is like a whole nother sport, and it's a lot of work. And it's a lot of work to transition to a whole nother sport. I was 6 when I was doing that. She's a little younger than me, so I think she has a little time on her side. And I think it's cool. And I totally understand why she wants to do that, because she hasn't fought all year. And I'm glad she recently got a fight planned for May, I believe, or March. So that's good. But I understand that her wanting to challenge herself and try something new. But for me, no, I'm 30. I don't have time to learn a whole new sport. Not my thing. And I still have so much I want to accomplish in boxing, you know, so much. I still want to unify this division. I want to go up to 135 and challenge the top girls there, Katie Taylor, and maybe 140 and above. Like, I feel like I have the height, the speed, the power. So there's still so much I feel like I want to get done in boxing.
You're trained by the venerable Al Mitchell, who has like 60 some odd years of experience. He's trained tons of champions. And I watch your relationship and how you guys interact when he's coaching you, and also just how he interacts when he's coaching when you're in the ring, and then when you're being trained. Talk to me a little bit about that relationship and how you're able to actually, how it's able to work, because he trains you hard. As soon as you got out of the ring, he wasn't there when you won the belt, but he had a whole lot to say, like, immediately, but it seemed like you knew what he was going to say.
The thing with Coach Al is, like, and everyone in my team, like, I do not have yes people in my corner. And yeah, it gets frustrating and they're definitely hard on me, but at the end of the day, it keeps me humble. It keeps me working hard. And I don't really get told a lot about what I did right. It's first thing is, this is what you could have done better. You know, this is what we need to work on. This is, we need to keep getting better, because we know, like, this isn't the end goal. This belt is the end goal. Like, yeah, it's cool and everything. It's going to get me to the next step. But I don't feel like, oh, I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Really not that big of a deal. I know my biggest fights are ahead of me and I got to keep working hard. So Coach Al keeps that mindset in me. Like, he instills that mindset. It doesn't matter how many belts I win. Like, he's never going to stop. He's like that in training camp. He's like that the entire training camp. What's different about our relationship and our training camp is I live with him the entire
time. Oh, okay.
So I'll go out to Michigan and do like 5 weeks with him. And then he'll come back down to my house in Colorado where there's altitude, and we'll finish the last 3 weeks or whatever. You know, maybe we're with Coach K for a part of that time, but I'm with my coaches like in the same roof the entire time. So there's no way for me to cut corners ever.
Coach Al and Coach K have given you a lot of continuity too, from the Olympic team, from the amateurs, and then going pro. What's the biggest difference in terms of how you guys work together now as opposed to what you came from in the Olympics?
Well, in the Olympics, you know, you get really taken away from your team and you get put in with Team USA and the coaches that Team USA have. And lucky for me, Coach K was a coach for Team USA. But during that time that I was on the team, I really got taken away from Coach Al. And so when I turned pro, there was a whole lot that Coach Al had to nip in the butt real fast. And huge difference between the amateur and pro style. Like, I don't care what anyone says. And Coach Al knew if I was going to cross over properly and be successful, he had to get me to settle down. He had to get me to stay behind my jab more. He had to teach me how to go to the body. And I didn't know how to do that in the amateurs. We didn't do that as much, you know? So it was just that them being really hard on me in that transition. But I think it was good because Coach K knew me from the amateurs. Coach Al knew me from, you know, my whole life on and off. But then they were able to come together and they work really well together. I mean, they respect each other for what they know and what they have. And I just have a great team. I just think I have the best team ever.
A small thing I've noticed is, I mean, you're 5'9". You're taller than most of your opponents. And over the past two fights, you've been fighting tall.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys have been working on?
So, you mean fighting tall? Okay.
Yeah.
So people say that in the beginning of my first few pro fights that I wasn't using my height and reach. But it's not that I didn't know how. I've always known how to use my height and reach. That's what I started. That's how Coach Al started me. What he didn't want me to do was only know how to fight on the outside. So my first 6-7-8 fights, I was learning how to go to the body. I was learning on the job. And so when people say, like, why is she smothering her punches? Why is she fighting on the inside? It's because I had to learn. Now I'm the champ, right? Now I'm going into these big fights and there's no time to learn those things. There's no time to practice on the job. So he had to show me how to do that off the bat. And now I feel like I'm at the point where I'm putting everything together and everyone's seeing that I can do both. I can do a little bit of everything.
I found it interesting that you're born on July 4th, Independence Day. And yeah. I thought that was so fitting for you. You've got a ton of partnerships too. It feels like you've embraced the part of being an entrepreneur and a businesswoman, as well as being an athlete. You've got Everlast, Trifecta, and you've got, did you switch your CBD partnership recently?
Yeah, I'm with Turn On Your Radio now, and which they're great. I love them. And I, you know, was with Under Armour and the Amateurs, and I have done a handful of partnerships. And the reason is, I mean, I feel like I've manifested those for myself, and that was really important to me to have that business mindset and go after these sponsored endorsement deals, because I knew as a female, like from the very beginning when I first started, that if I was going to have a career in the sport and, you know, make money and be successful, that I was going to have to go after the sponsors and endorsement deals and brand myself and, you know, build a business around my name. Because women, like when I started boxing, women were not allowed to compete in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And promoters were not signing us. So I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I don't know where, like, I just had this dream and I was just going to plow out, you know, the path as I went. But I knew that I had to brand myself along the way. And I've just always had that mindset. So, and it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard.
How did it happen? I mean, did you get a business advisor, or was there somebody kind of in the industry who was like, hold on, girl?
I lived in LA and I told myself, okay, I need some type of representation. I don't know how to navigate this world. I don't know how to get a sponsor or endorsement deal. This is before like Instagram even existed, right? Mm-hmm. So I walked myself into these agencies in LA and basically just like try and get a meeting. I got a meeting in a couple places, and I sat across the table. I went to ICM. I sat across the table with this meeting, and the guy who's originally supposed to meet me decided not to meet me. And he asked my manager at the time, will you take this meeting with this female boxer? Like, I know you like boxing. Will you take it? And he sort of did it as a favor. And I sat down across from the table from George Ruiz, who's my manager today, and basically said, like, I just lost at the 2012 Olympic trials, but I promise you, I'm going to make the 2016 team. I want to real endorsement sponsorships. Like, I want to be a world champion. I want to be Olympic gold medalist. Like, and I just sold myself to him. And he'll tell you, like, he's like, if this girl can box, I believe every word she says, and I think she's going to be a star. And so that was like, what, almost 9 years ago. And he's been with me. He's
wow.
Been with me from the bottom to the top. And he's been great. Like, he's more than a manager. He's more than an agent. He's more than a my lawyer, my publicist, like my stylist, if I need help. He helps me. He's helped me grow. Yeah.
I will say, at one point, what the heck was it? I was having an issue with my tripod or something, and I sat down to interview, and George helped me set up the tripod. Like, he does a little, like, whatever he needs to do to get things taken care of for you, I see him doing it.
He wears so many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get managers like that these days. You really don't. Like, a lot of these boxing managers, they come, they get you a contract, and they just collect their percentage. I mean, there's not, I call him up for every little thing possible, and he's just been there through the way, just teaching me how to be a businesswoman and, you know, navigate this career that we didn't really have a path laid out. We had to figure it out on our own.
Yeah. And like I said, you were born on Independence Day.
Yeah.
It was kind of like you're supposed to be here. This is what you're supposed to do. I checked out a little bit of your CBD sponsorship. I talk a lot on the show about CBD and actual marijuana use in terms of athlete recovery and reducing inflammation. What is it? Why is CBD important for you? And why did you decide that you were actually going to sign on as a brand ambassador?
I was actually one of the first athletes. Like, it was very controversial in the beginning. You know, not a lot of people wanted to touch CBD, you know, in fear of like, you know, putting the THC thing and the marijuana. Yeah. And so I was one of the first athletes to openly talk about being sponsored by a CBD company. And I don't like putting things in my body. Like, I don't like to take medication, mm-hmm. foreign objects. I like make sure I know all the ingredients on my food. And so if I could take something to help with the inflammation, which every athlete has, to help with my sleep, which is sometimes difficult when your body hurts and you're sore, and to help with the recovery in like a natural way, I said, oh, yeah, let me try it. Why not? And it's worked wonders for me. My favorite thing about CBD is the way it helps me sleep. I have this thing where I wake up at 1 or 2 in the morning. If I take a vial or two of the Turn On Your Radio CBD, I just do not wake up.
So it's Turn On. What's the name of the company?
Turn On Your Radio. And I like them because they have 4 different types of CBD for different parts of your day. So they have They have a sign off for when you're ready to go to sleep. They have easy now for like anxiety throughout the day.
Are they all pills or tinctures or?
No, it's oil. It's CBD oil.
They're all oils. Okay.
Yeah, one for focus, so zone in like before a workout. So I have them all throughout the day. They have these pills that help with the blue light that you get from all these, you know, technology that we have today.
Interesting. Okay.
And so it helps with your retina and your blue lights, and so that you don't, you know, your vision doesn't go out and you can see those
potentially.
So
yeah, it happens all the time. My kids are home because we're all home.
$2.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you about them. Were you giving them lamb chops on Christmas Eve, or was it?
I feed my dogs raw a lot. Yeah, I was just chopping up lamb chops. We were cooking, and that was their little Christmas Eve treat, a raw lamb chop. So people think you can feed dogs bones. It just has to be raw. It can't be cooked.
Right. I mean, that's what they used to eat before they started coming into the house. It's in the DNA. You know? You're not planning to be back in until May. Who knows? Something might come up. Hopefully it does. How you plan to keep yourself busy in between that time?
Yeah, I'm big on putting myself in a position to be successful. So the reason I went to Houston was because I'm like, okay, I don't have a fight day yet, but I don't like sitting here, you know, not in a routine or with any structure. Like, I do best when I have structure. So I always have to put myself in a position to have that. And so I up and went to Houston so I can get in the gym and, you know, be on a schedule with my coach. And that's what I'm going to continue to keep doing. You know, I'm going to join Jamel's camp while he's here. There's a few camps coming in and out for the next couple of months. So I'll do that. And then, as soon as I get a fight date, I'll head up to Michigan and start working with Coach Al.
We're so happy for you, Michaela. I like the fact that your team has decided to develop you instead of just jumping around and getting you whatever fight. Your fights have made sense as you've gone away, and I feel like you've earned that strap. I really do. Do you feel like you've earned it, or do you feel like there's still so much more you need to do to really feel like you did?
No, I mean, I had 3 years of being a pro before I got this shot at this belt, and I was number one contender in this division for over a year before I was able to negotiate this world title fight. So, you know, it took a lot of work. Like, we thought we were going to get this world title fight 4 fights ago, and it just didn't happen. And so it's kind of like even sweeter now, because maybe if I would have gotten it when I first wanted it, not as many eyes would have been looking, and I want the world to be watching, right? That's what we need for boxing. Like, we need the world to be watching. And so it took a little bit of extra time, but I've been able to build my following and my fan base and just kind of build up for it. And now I think 2021, it's all just there's going to be some big fights and it's all going to happen. So it was a great 3 years of experience, and now I'm ready to run.
We're talking with WBO champion Michaela Mayer. Michaela, before I let you go, before you get back in the ring again, there's going to be several other fights, both on the male and on the women's side. Who are you excited to see this year?
Oh gosh. Well, definitely excited for Clarissa to get back in the ring. My Olympic sister, you know, I know she's been frustrated not being able to get a fight all year. So excited for that. I hope to see Ryan Garcia and Tank. Excited to see how Shakur Stevenson's gonna do in his new division. I've always been a fan of Shakur. He's been my teammate for years, so I wish him well. And then there's just a lot of great female fights coming up too, and my division is stacked. Like, there's a lot of girls. You know, Eddie Hearn has signed a lot of women, so I know he's put some big fights. Can't name them all, but I know there's a handful, so I'll be watching and following it, and we'll see.
Well, we're excited for women's boxing to keep doing what it's doing, and the trajectory still looks good. Certainly can't wait to see you this year. I know you're active on Instagram. Where else do you want people to check you out?
Yeah, Instagram is where I'm at mostly, but I've been pretty active on Twitter lately. Michaela Mayer 1. And that's about it.
Fantastic. Hey, keep that strap.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Take care. Good to see you, Michaela.
Still. Have a good night. Bye. Bye.
Michaela Mayer, WBO champion. One thing I love to see with Michaela is that she's got the business side and she's also got the athlete side going. And so a lot of young boxers in particular are actually peeping this game, and they're understanding that they have to have the social media following. Just like, you know, Ryan Garcia gets some flack for it, but guess what? Ryan just performed in a ring too. So Michaela's doing both inside and outside the ring. Can't wait to see what she's got going next. Speaking of what's got going next, there's a few fights coming up. UFC, of course, a big one is going to be Conor McGregor against Dustin Poirier. I don't like to call fights to tell you who I think is going to win. I actually think that fight's going to be more competitive than the one we saw with Conor and Cowboy. Duh. I don't think Dustin's going to get caught out there with some shoulder shrugs like that. But this morning, it was very early this morning. I think it was like 5 a.m. The UFC card from Abu Dhabi kicked off. And although the main event with Magny and Chiesa was not as exciting as some of the other ones on the card, I think that you're going to see Chiesa with that wrestling style be a problem in that division just because it's just an odd matchup. I know he called out Kobe. I don't know if Dan is interested in making that matchup. There's a couple other guys ahead of him. And then, of course, there are the PBC cards coming up this weekend. We're going to see Angela Leo. We're also going to see Rais Salim come up as well, and a handful of others. Man, it's 2021. We freaking made it. Some of these cards are still going to be in the bubble. You're going to be able to buy tickets in limited supply if those fights are in either Florida, excuse me, or Texas. But as far as I know, Vegas is still going to be locked down at least through this month. We might see what happens in February. But until then, hey, happy New Year, mofos, and hope to see you in the next few days with Jeremy Long and or Ralph Velez for Levels. I'm your girl, Cassandra Cousineau, the Sportsnista, rocking the pearls today. Take care. Bye.